Halevi begins with this famous image of Tzion. Haloti Shali, aren't you interested in seeking out the welfare? Lishlom Asiraich, those who are your prisoners. This, of course, is a double entendre. On the one hand, the Jews have thought of themselves as Asirei Tzion. We know that term was used in the Refusnik movement. Many people in the room remember that. Call themselves Asirei Tzion. But of course, it's not only Asirei Tzion and those who are bound from going to Tzion, but Asirei Tzion is also an internal state. Is that we're the same way, Ki Cholas Ahava Ani. Person loves a woman loves a man. There's a sense of being imprisoned by that, that you couldn't escape it. It's something that takes over, almost obsessionally. And the Jewish people have been Asirei Tzion their entire existence. They've always yearned for Zion. Dorshe Shlomeich Vehem Yeser Adarayich. Of course, we're told by the psalmist, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. And only when we are Shoel Shalom Yerushalayim will we experience an inner state of tranquility. Yishlayu Ohavayich. Miyam Umizrach Mitzafon V'Teiman. Wherever they are, Shalom Rachok V'Karov. Of course, quoting the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Shalom, Shalom, LaRachok VeLaKarov, Si'imi Kol Avarayech, from all sides, Mushlom Asir Tikva Notein Tma'av Kital Chermon. The Jewish people literally weep when they are forcibly separated from Tzion. Here you see just a few lines later, and this is the image that I want to develop. Ani Chinor LeShirayech. It wasn't Naomi Shemer who first came up with the line. Hello, the Chol Shirayach Ani Kinor, right? Yehuda Levi beat her to it. That's not an insult, okay? Yehuda Levi was one of the great poets of all Jewish history. But what is the image of the Kinor? To appreciate both Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, as well as, of course, Tzion Haloti Shali. What's the image of the Kinor, the most famous image of the Kinor? Who's the Baal Kinor? David HaMelech. So what do we know about the Kinor? David used to play the Kinor for what reason? Right, because Shaul was suffering from some malady, a mental illness, ruach hara, and it was causing him great distress, as only mental anguish and mental illness can. And the kinor was played by David HaMelech to sort of relieve Shaul of this inner sense of angst. Okay, and so the way that Yehuda Halevi is using this image, of course, and we'll talk more and more about this kinor, is Yehuda Halevi is using the image of the Jewish people are kind of beset by a ruach hara. Absent of Tzion, they're unable to find any sense of serenity or tranquility. And we want to have the kinur to put our minds at ease so that we should be able, of course, to experience some sense of peace and tranquility. But it really goes beyond that. And it has to do with the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Hei that develops the image of David and his kinur in a particularly beautiful way based on the pasuk in Tehillim, which says, A'ira Hashachar, that I shall awake the dawn. Not the dawn shall awake me, but David HaMelech would awake the dawn. What does it mean? So the Gemara in Brachos describes that David used to have a kinur. He used to have his lyre, his harp, however you want to translate it, that was tolal mitasal. It was hanging right above his bed. And at Chatzos HaLayla, there are different versions of this in the Gemara, the ruach tzfonis, a wind would come in to David's room and it would start blowing, v'hayo ha-kinor menagein me'elav. And the kinor would start playing itself this beautiful melody. It's a metaphor, okay? And David HaMelech would get up, and it would be osik batorah until dawn, of course, and that's what he meant when he said, a'ira ha-shachar, I awake the dawn does not awake me, because I have something else to wake me up, which is, of course, the kinor. The kinor is menagein me'elav. So when Yehuda Halevi says here that he is a kinor for the Song of Tzion, a major part of the image is just like the kinor of David played by itself, the Jewish heartstrings are like the kinor. They're menagein me'elav. You don't really need to teach a Jew to sing for Tzion. It's sort of built in. The Radak has such a beautiful comment in his Perush in the Brisbane of Esarim. You know that in the Brisbane of Esarim there were 9 animals that Avram was told to take, that there was 3 rams, and there was 3 bakar, and there was 3 tzon, and then he was supposed to take v'tor v'gozal, right? He was supposed to take these birds. And what was the difference between the animals and the birds? What happened to the animals? They were split, exactly. What happened to the birds? Ve'es hatzipor lo vasar. It stayed whole. So the Radak is commenting, like, what is this image? The Jewish people are to be compared to the Torah and the Gozal, as they are in Shir Hashirim, Yonasi b'chagvei ha'sela. So the Radak says, why was it that the birds stayed whole? It's because, one answer, then he gives another answer about the land of Israel. He says, but basically, the Jew is like the bird. And a bird, you know, many birds, especially the Torah and Gozal, the pigeon, the turtle dove, they have a homing device. They always know somehow, this is a remarkable aspect of the biology and the anatomy of the bird, is that you could take a bird and, I don't know, you know, put it into captivity and take it somewhere and release it off of a building in Midtown Manhattan, and somehow, right, it knows how to get back home. It just knows, it sort of senses the way back home. I mean, that's the way that a Jew is. It's the kinor haminagein me'ilah. The Jew knows, ultimately, that his home is in Sion, that her home is in Sion. It's always whole in that way. You could chop it up, in theory, into a million pieces, and it would still know how to sort of make itself complete by finding its way back home. A Jew has an intrinsic devotion to the land of Israel. This is not something that basically needs to be taught. It's something which is intrinsic. I wanted to share a story with you that I just learned this past year. And of course, we dedicated the Aron to memory of Dr. Brenner. And one of the things that I spoke about that I learned only at his Levaya, I didn't know it in his lifetime because he didn't talk about it. I learned it as Levaya from one of the family members. And then I got a follow-up story when we had the dinner, the dedication, that I've never told the story before. So Dr. Brenner made a major, major contribution to the security of the State of Israel. More so than almost any single person that I know. He was a polymer chemist, and he designed an anti-inflammatory agent. As you know, a tank is basically a steel box on wheels, okay, or on treads. And if it's hit by a mortar or a rocket, it will explode in flames, and that will be the end of the crew inside. And the Israeli tank corps, which was under the command of Major General Yisrael Tal, who eventually went on to design the Merkava tank, so they had a major problem, which was that, you know, tank crews were getting hit and there wasn't enough time to escape. Dr. Brenner, as part of his role as a scientist, designed an anti-inflammatory agent that was released upon contact, and it was programmed in that if the tank would get hit by a shell or mortar, so that this chemical would be released and it would create a window of time. It couldn't last forever, say 5 or 10 seconds for the crew to escape. The difference between life and death for many, okay? And he could, of course, sold this to Tzaha. What do you think they would be willing to pay? Virtually any amount of money, okay? You know, it's a life and death issue. And he gave it to them for free. And his explanation to them was, I'm a Jew. He didn't need to say more than that. I'm a Jew, so what am I going to charge you for this? A Jew is a kinor, is minagein me'ilah. It knows how to play by itself for the state of Israel. So that's a story that I knew. I told that story at the dinner. I learned that story at the Levaya. So Mrs. Brenner, she should be well, so she tells me right outside over there after that portion of the dinner. So we were talking. She said, you know, there's a second half of that story. So I said, so what is it? Like, what could be better than this? So she says to me that Dr. Brenner had to go to Israel to show some of the Israeli scientists how to produce this in quantity. So he went to Israel and he stayed in a hotel. So after he does this, so Shimon Peres was the defense minister at the time. Like I said, the head of the armored corps was Israel. So they go to him afterwards. They don't know exactly what to say because he's given them something literally of incalculable value. So they say to him, where did you stay? So he said, I stayed in this hotel. So they say, can the state of Israel at least pay your hotel bill? You know, if you're not going to let us, you know, actually pay you for saving the lives of countless Jewish boys, so maybe you'll allow us to pay your hotel bill. And he answered them. I had this from Mrs. Brenner, you know, whatever it was, June 24th, 2019, as he told me the story. So his answer to them again was, I'm a Jew. No explanation required. Meaning, no, you cannot pay my hotel bill because this is part of what it means to be a Jewish person. I'm a kinor. I'm in a gain me'ilav for the Jewish people, and for the land of Israel. So I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going to get any hana from this. I'm not even going to get recompense. I'm not looking for this. This is part of what it means, you know, to be a Jewish person. This is what Yehuda HaLevi basically understood about the collective consciousness of Am Yisrael. This is just a natural extension of what it means, of what it means to be a Jew. And this is this is something irrational, something that can't be explained in fully logical terms, but it's always been that way. And it goes, like I said, in both directions. The Rav used to love to quote the Medrash, which talks about the fact that Eretz Yisrael would never yield its peros to any of its conquerors. Look at how Israel, thank God, blooms today under Jewish sovereignty, and how many things, you know, are developed, how many technologies, and water, which was always a problem in Israel from the very beginning, and now Israel can even export water, and etc., etc., and all of the various empires, the British Mandate, and before that the Ottomans, and going all the way back to the various conquerors of Israel, they never were really able to secure a foothold there and establish it. We know about them from the archaeological ruins that they have. So Klal Yisrael has maintained a profound loyalty to the land of Israel. Israel has retained a profound loyalty to the Jewish people. And that's, I think, very much part of the image of this kinor that Yehuda HaLevi utilized here in this very beautiful Tzion Haloti Shali, Art Scroll, page 328. Rosenfeld, page 152. Shiva, 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 Shiva